I welcome you to our very first Well webcast. So earlier this week, when the governor of our state issued the order to not have gatherings of greater than 250 people, we had a decision that we had to make. It wasn't a decision of whether or not to follow the order. The word very clearly admonishes us to follow the orders of authorities in government. And so we knew that we were going to follow the order, but how were we going to do it? Were we going to just try to follow the letter of the order? Were we going to try to have just a few people not show up just to make sure that we were under 250 people and therefore we met the letter? Or were we going to try to follow the intent of the order, which is to avoid large public gatherings? And in considering what to do, first off, we wanted to seek God and do what he would have us do. And as we looked at the word and as we prayed, a couple of things jumped out to us. The first was Matthew 22. When the Pharisees came and asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? His response was, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Our first mandate is to love God, and the second, which most applies in our current situation, is like it. To love our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes in loving our neighbors, it's an expression of our love for God. When we acknowledge the image of God within our neighbors, within our brothers and sisters, and love them, we're loving God. And so sometimes one and two in those in that list, not only they're alike, but they're one and the same. As we talked about it and we prayed about it, we decided that the best way to love our neighbor is to not get sick and not pass illness on to other people. One of the most important things we can do in loving our neighbors right now is staying out of the hospital. To preserve those beds and those resources for people that truly need them. There's only a limited number of hospital beds, critical care beds, ventilators in our area. By staying well, we keep those available to the people that are going to need them. By maintaining our distance physically, we avoid hospitalizations, not just for coronavirus, but for other infectious diseases that are passed person to person this time of the year. Colds that can develop into viral and bacterial pneumonia that require hospitalization. Influenza, all of those things are going around right now. And so by maintaining that physical distance, it's going to reduce the number of people that need to be in the hospital. And one of the best ways that we can do that is not to gather in large groups. And so even if our group was less than 250, we felt it was the best way to love our neighbor was to encourage everybody to stay home. It's really strange to be here today and speaking because when the worship team is up here, there's fewer people sitting in the pews that are on the stage. It's a little odd, but it's what we're working with. We also considered Romans 14, 13 to 23, and how the concept of deferring to our weaker brethren applied in this situation. Now, we know that this passage, it's mostly about our restraining our freedom in matters of sin and righteousness. But we believe that we should defer to our weaker brethren in other ways as well. We should defer to those who are physically weaker, those who physically may become ill, those that are most susceptible to having a serious illness related to the coronavirus or to influenza or to any of the other things right now that we're trying to avoid and prevent hospitalizations for. And so we chose to defer to our weaker brethren and encourage everybody to stay home and do this webcast. We're also deferring to those that are weaker in the area of fear and anxiety. Let's be honest, there are some people that wouldn't have come to church anyway. And we don't want them to feel guilty. We don't want them to feel like they should have been here. We want them to know that we love them and that we want to honor the fact that maybe they don't feel as strong. Maybe they don't feel as brave and courageous as some of the people that are going to come to church no matter what. We defer to them. We also defer to our brethren who are weak in the area of self-righteousness. Those that would hold themselves above others because they did decide to come to church. And in that way, tempt them to sin. So we chose to ask people to stay home in deference to our weaker brethren. For the time being, this is how we're going to conduct our Sunday services. We're going to encourage you to stay home and watch the service via webcast. Only the people who are part of leading and broadcasting the service should be coming to the building on Sunday mornings if they can avoid it. You know, if you're part of the worship team, please come and lead us in worship. But we're not demanding that anyone come. It's strictly on a volunteer basis. But for the most part, we want the people that are involved in the Sunday service to come in worship and in preaching. Those are the people who should be here. And if you're not, it's best that you stay home. But we're not locking the doors. Sometimes people reach out to the church for comfort. They seek solace in the church. And so the doors are open, and if people come in, we will be here. But for the most part, we want people to stay home, stay safe, stay well. As far as small groups go, right now we're leaving it to the discretion of the individual cell group leaders whether or not to meet. If your group does meet, please follow the CDC recommendations about limiting the spread of the virus. If you're sick, stay home. If anybody in your family is sick, stay home. This virus is unusual in that you can become contagious even before you show symptoms. And if you have children, they often don't show any symptoms at all when they're sick. So if anybody in your family is ill, don't go to small groups, please. If your small group leader chooses not to meet, please respect that decision. Give them grace and encourage them in their decision. We don't want anyone feeling compelled to meet or guilty for not meeting right now. Bless them and encourage them in their decision. So what should we do during this time? When we're not meeting on Sundays, when some small groups are being canceled, be the church. That's what we'll do. We'll continue to be the church. Our mission, our vision don't change. We're still about God and His gospel. We're still about teaching gospel truth, living in gospel community, and being on gospel mission until the return of Christ. That doesn't change. Be the church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Delight yourself in Him and take comfort from knowing that He has promised us eternal life. Paul said to Timothy when he was in jail near the end of his life, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which is now manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." God has promised us eternal life, and He will guard it, and He will keep it. The second thing you do is love your neighbor. I'll admit, it'd be a little hard right now. People are acting a little bit crazy, aren't they? It's been really interesting to look at Facebook and see people out in public and see the way that they're reacting to all this. But the one common thing I see in all of the reactions is grief. People are grieving right now. You can see it in the way they act. The Kubler-Ross stages of grief are on bright display for all of us to see. Some people are in denial. They're making jokes about the coronavirus. They're questioning the reaction of our governor. Let me just say about the reaction of our governor and the reaction of our government, any reaction is going to look like an overreaction if nothing happens. But the fact of the matter is, that reaction may have been the very thing that prevented more serious consequences. And therefore, it's going to look like an overreaction. So some people are in denial. They don't think it's as bad as they're saying. It's bad. 10 times as deadly as the flu. Easier to catch than the flu. It is a danger. People are going to lose their lives because of this virus. And as much as we want to deny it, I tend to fall into that category. As a nurse, I tend to go right to the gallows humor and deny the truth of what's happening. But people are suffering and people are dying. And so the reaction of our government, the reaction of our governor is not an overreaction. Some people are angry. They're angry because of their loss of control, their loss of choice. When you're grieving, anger is a powerful emotion. It's a way of taking back some control. And so you are seeing people who are angry. Bargaining, I think that's a little bit of what's happening with all of the panic shopping that's going on. If I have enough toilet paper, I think I'll be okay. If I have enough canned food, I think I'll be okay. They're trying to take back control in one way or another. And there are many people who are depressed. They're sad. They're fearful. They're lonely. They're isolated. And some of us have reached a place of acceptance that this is where it's going to be. This is what's going to be happening for the next several weeks. But don't think that's the final stage or that that's somehow better than the other stages. Let me just tell you, those of you who have reached acceptance, you're the most annoying to the angry people. People have different reactions to grief. And as feelings and emotions come up, the reactions will change. And so we need to love our neighbor where they're at. We need to weep with those who weep. Pray for those around us. Pray for your neighbors who are near. And pray for those around the world who are being affected by the virus. The coronavirus, it's affecting people physically, mentally, socially, financially, and spiritually. The impact on many is already far more devastating than what we'll experience here. Please pray for your neighbors locally and around the world in the midst of this time of suffering and grief. If you're able, seek out practical ways to love and serve the people that are near you. If you go online, there are many suggestions of ways that you can reach out to your neighbors. You can seek out your elderly neighbors. Those who are most at risk. Maybe when you go to the grocery store, you pick up a few things for them. Make sure that they have meals. Make sure that their needs are met. Some of our neighbors and our brothers and sisters that are going to need our contact most right now are those who are single, who don't have a family at home that they can be with when they're quarantined and isolated. We're living in gospel community. And that doesn't end because of distance. Thank God that we have the tools and the technology that we have today. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that a video chat is a very poor substitute for a hug. But it's what we've got right now. So thank God for it and take advantage of that. Reach out to your brothers and sisters. Pray for them. Encourage them. Love on them. But continue to make a distance between you and that physical proximity. Keep well. Keep safe. Continue to be the church. The church has survived greater challenges than this. It's existed through wars. It's existed through persecution. It's existed through disease and plague before. And the church will go on. God directs, God preserves, God protects his church. The church is not a building. It's not a location. It's people. It's believers in Jesus Christ. The church will go on. So continue to be the church. Continue to fulfill the Great Commission. Be ready when you're working with your neighbors, when you're serving your neighbors, when you're calling your neighbors, to share with them the reason for the hope that you have. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that though times are hard, we do not go through them alone. That you are here and you are sovereign and you are leading and guiding and directing the events of this day. That you will be with us through health and through illness. That you will be with us through grief and through rejoicing. That you will be with us when we are separated from one another and when we are near to one another, Father. We thank you that you've given us this community, the church, to walk together, to love one another, to bless and encourage one another, Father. Be with our church. Help us to be the church during this time of quarantine. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to continue with our worship. We chose to add in this song.